This is OPB News. I'm Christian Foden-Wenzel. Campaigners continue their blitz on Oregon voters this week. Phone banks are busy, there's a flood of mail coming through, and don't be surprised to meet volunteers asking for your support for the candidates as you go about your business between now and May 20th. Visits from the presidential candidates are likely to continue too. Senator Hillary Clinton paid a visit to Oregon Saturday, meeting voters in Hillsborough and Eugene. As part of our ongoing campaign coverage today, we present some of Clinton's replies to audience questions at the Hillsborough event. OPB presented similar sounds from Senator Barack Obama's most recent campaigns. That was back in Salem. We begin with Senator Clinton's policy on the United States Supreme Court. One voter asked Clinton how she'd select nominees should she become president. The question drew a big cheer from the crowd.
Well, first of all, I think one of the strongest reasons to make sure we have a Democrat in the White House next January is because of the Supreme Court. I think that the way that President Bush has looked at the court is as an extension of partisan advantage. I think we're strongest when we stay in the center, when we stay in the center as a country, because, you know, progress is usually made by convincing the center to move. And what we've seen with President Bush is he's trying to pull it back. I would appoint people who understood the genius of the American system. Our Constitution has expanded as our hearts have expanded. Yesterday in Memphis, I couldn't help but be reminded that, you know, when our Constitution was written, neither Barack nor I were in it. And I want justices who know that you have to constantly be balancing all the forces at work in America. But at the end of the day, ask yourself, how can we move toward a more just society where people have a chance to pursue life and liberty and happiness as they define it? Yes, and white there, yes?
It was the first woman president of the United States, and you will be. Is it a priority to get out of Iraq, and is it really all that complicated to get out of Iraq?
It is. It's my highest priority, but it's also important that we do it the right way, because obviously withdrawing troops can be dangerous, especially as we have to move them out along the same roads that have often been the targets for so many attacks and all those improvised explosive devices. But I would ask the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense and my security advisors to give me a plan so that I could begin to withdraw troops within 60 days. I believe we can take out 1 to 2 brigades a month. And, you know, I want to say a word about the general election. You know that Senator McCain is a genuine American hero. He is a man who has given great service to our country over many years. I admire him. He is my friend. He will run this election on national security. Our candidate has to be able to go toe-to-toe on the stage, in the debates, with John McCain on national security. That's why I am so honored that 34 admirals and generals, 2 former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairmen, 1 former vice chief, plus General Wesley Clark, have endorsed me. Yes?
You had mentioned that you want to eliminate No Child Left Behind. I'd like to know a little bit more about how you want to make sure that we hold schools accountable without being punitive.
That's exactly the right way of asking the questions. I have been involved in education reform going back to Arkansas when I headed up a commission to reform our schools and really try to provide so many more chances for kids in what was a very poor state. And I know that this is not easy, and it has to be a partnership. It starts with the families. Families have to understand they are their child's first school, and parents are a child's first teachers. And I've worked all my life to give families more support to do that most important job. And we have to have institutional support like Head Start and Early Head Start and good preschool and good pre-kindergarten and all the rest of it. If our schools are going to do the job that our country needs, we need to be creative, not to lock them down into a one-size-fits-all approach, but instead to look at how we are going to bring the best out of every child. That's why I much prefer that we move, for you who are educators, toward what are called growth models, where we judge the progress each child is making, not the child as a member of a group, whether or not that group is succeeding. And I have a lot to say about this, because I think that what No Child Left Behind has done is to treat every school the same. I mean, if you're in a rich suburb, or you're in a poor rural area or underserved urban area, it's all treated the same. I believe the federal government should be using our resources to help bring schools that are low achieving up with the resources they need, with the support for teachers that they need, with the kind of curriculum that they need. So I intend to be a good partner to have that kind of accountable education system.
The major theme of the Democrats' Senate primary race may have finally emerged over the weekend after two high-profile debates, one in Portland and one in Newport. The two major candidates in the race, Attorney Steve Novick and House Speaker Jeff Merkley, continued to hammer at each other about the best way to get things done in Washington. From Newport, Ethan Lindsay files this report.
After the latest in a series of debates, the campaign's soft political contours finally hardened into a battle of sharp contrasts. A Friday debate at the City Club of Portland was the first one-on-one forum between Steve Novick and Jeff Merkley. That mano-a-mano format rang the bell on a rhetorical boxing match between Novick's career of outspoken activism as a political consultant and Merkley's tenure in elected and appointed office. And that prize fight bled over to Saturday's debate on the coast, hosted by the Associated Press and the League of Women Voters. Here's Jeff Merkley.
You and I, Steve, have quite different styles.
Like their presidential counterparts, Senators Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, the Democratic Senate hopefuls agree on most policy issues. They differ on the question of how to create political change.
I think the next president will want a senator who will join him or her in taking political risks to get the job done in this country.
Merkley attacked Novick for several comments his rival made on the internet years ago.
You tore down Obama as a complete sellout and a special interest fraud. You attacked Clinton as a coward and as a traitress. This style seems more reminiscent of Rush Limbaugh than of Democrats working to create change in our nation.
We went over this yesterday, Mr. Speaker.
Here's Novick's response.
Sometimes I have too sharp a tongue, but I really don't think that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are going to be spending their time reading two-year-old blog posts.
At points, fellow candidates Candy Neville, David Luera, and Pavel Goberman seem to be watching from outside the ring. In some sense, Neville may have foreseen this. She protested the one-on-one format of Friday's City Club debate.
First of all, Merkley and Novick aren't married and they are not going to be elected together. If it's going to be one of them, it's going to be one or the other. Candy, Pavel, and David Luera, we're not a package either. I'm running on my own.
But some debate watchers, like Alice McCain of Siletz, said the Merkley-Novick contest is finally getting interesting.
It's sort of implied by the things that the other one said that they know that it's going to be either Novick or Merkley. But I don't think they talked about it, but it was obvious that there was definitely style differences and background differences.
Still, even as they started to pummel each other, Novick and Merkley saved their haymakers for Republican incumbent Gordon Smith, his Senate voting record, and the Bush administration.
And Smith has been with Bush and Cheney 90% of the time. I'm very proud to say that here in the state of Oregon, we have the lowest opinion of Bush Cheney of any state in the entire nation. Go Oregon!
Smith's Republican Party affiliation is one reason why this race is being watched nationally. Democrats across the country are more energized than they have been in years, as evidenced by their record-high turnout numbers. And despite Smith's large edge in money and name recognition, political observers say his re-election is at risk if 2008 turns out to be a Democratic knockout. Ethan Lindsay, OPB News.
Both Hillary Clinton's and Barack Obama's campaigns are keenly aware of how few weeks remain before Oregonians start casting their ballots and how many voters may still be undecided. April Baer made a quick swing through the crowd after Clinton finished speaking in Hillsborough on Saturday to see which way those voters were leaning.
Hillary Clinton may not have drawn the sheer numbers Barack Obama commanded on his last visit, but she may have won some converts. Bob Cassidy of Lake Oswego counts himself an Obama supporter, but says the Clinton made him take a second look.
I was impressed. I think she's much, much better in person than I've ever seen on TV. I saw Barack when he was here also, and I was very impressed then, and I'm more confused than ever, I have to admit.
Like Bob Cassidy, some Oregonians are taking their time to decide. Others showed up for the Clinton rally fully determined. Yolanda Cantu lives in Silverton and liked the parts of the senator's speech that concerned health care and ending the war.
Oh, I'm very motivated. I got a lot of good ideas, and I'm ready to vote for her. I've always liked Hillary because I think she can get the job done.
The women at Saturday's rally showed up in all variations. Moms with strollers, swanky suit types, giggly teens, and one elderly woman with a crown of snowy hair who was not shy with the introductions.
Jackie Rosales, and I love Hillary. I've loved her since I first saw her. I think she's brilliant. I think that she would do a great job, and she's married to Bill, and if she's elected, he'd go overseas and heal all the hurt that this president's created. I think it's time.
Talking to the people who attended Clinton's rally, you start to notice that like Jackie and Yolanda and Bob, each had similar issues on the brain. But they came at those issues from very different angles. Ranjini and Betta Sharma of Portland haven't quite made up their minds yet, but they say they are giving full consideration to both Democratic frontrunners.
We have been leaning towards Hillary in the last few weeks, actually, because of her experience.
Many years back, we were Republicans. We changed over after we came to Oregon.
What kinds of issues changed your mind?
Mainly the war and sense of recklessness with our national finances.
Yeah. For me, education is a priority, science, technology, mathematics. Thousands have come from other countries, and having changed over and, you know, worked here, we now feel that our jobs are at risk too.
Hillary Clinton's campaign opens its first Oregon office today. Meanwhile, Barack Obama's campaign now has 5 headquarters open in Oregon. 3 new ones were broken in over the weekend. April Baer, OPB News.